Well, good evening. We have been studying about creation and evolution. This particular lesson is talking about the days of Genesis. You know, there's a lot of controversy between evolutionists and creationists as far as the age of the earth. When you read the Bible, it appears to say that the earth is relatively young, at least thousands of years, as opposed to billions of years. But yet the evolutionists have to have lots of time. If they don't have lots of time, they don't even have an inkling of evolution even happening. Of course, we've already talked about the probability of that happening, and that is zero. So they just keep extending the age of the earth further and further out just to say that somehow in the back of their mind they can justify it. So it's important that we look at the days of Genesis. God talked about the fact that he created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Well, does that mean 24-hour days? Does that mean long periods of time? And so that's what we want to look at in this particular lesson. Are the days of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, really literal 24-hour days? If not, then are the days in the rest of the Bible really 24-hour days? Those are good questions. You know, if you're going to compromise God's word at the beginning in chapters 1 and 2, why not compromise it later on? If we can't really trust what God says in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, why should we be able to trust what he says in the rest of the Bible? So it's important that we find out what God is really talking about in these first two chapters. If the creation did not take place in 6 24-hour days, then did it actually rain 40 days and 40 nights at the start of the flood? Was Jonah truly in the belly of the great fish for just 3 days? Was Jesus' body in the tomb for 3 days? Again, when you start compromising God's word and say, well, the days in Genesis don't really mean 24-hour days, they're talking about vast periods of time, then why not 40 days and 40 nights being vast periods of time? Maybe it lasted years and not just 40 days and 40 nights. If you cannot believe Genesis 1 and 2, then can you truly believe that God had the power to raise Christ from the dead on the third day? You know, if Christ is not telling us the truth, like I said, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, maybe he's not telling us the truth the rest of the time. That's right. You have to believe in his word. Of course, we looked at that in our, two lessons ago, the truth of God's word. It is true. It is powerful. And so we need to look at this from a logical standpoint and seeing if we can try to convince other people that those days really are 24-hour days. If God's account of creation is actually a fable and not truth, then why should we take the rest of what God says is truth? And that's what it boils down to. Either God's word is true, from Genesis to Revelation, or it's not true. If any part of it is false, we can throw the whole thing out. Because what part are you going to believe? What part is truth? What part is false? All of God's word is truth. These are all good questions because if we do not doubt, or if we do doubt the truth of what God says concerning the days of creation, then why should we trust God in anything else that he says? And of course, that's exactly what Satan wants, doubt. As we mentioned before, that's been Satan's mode of attack from the very beginning. God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't even touch it, because the day you do, you're going to die. So what does Satan do? He goes to Eve and says, you shall not surely die. So that put doubt in the mind of Eve. Okay, is God really telling me the truth? Does God really mean what he says? As we know, she ate of it and so did Adam. And they sinned. It's nothing new. It's the same tactic Satan used back in the Garden of Eden. Plant seeds of doubt in God's word. God's word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to save our souls if we believe what it says and then act upon it. But Satan puts doubt in people's minds. He does that very well. So what about the days of creation? Are they literal 24-hour days, or are they vast periods of time? Let's begin by looking at the word for day, which is yom in the Hebrew. Yom. Now, the word yom can carry with it the meaning of a literal day or a period of time based on its usage and language constructions. Those who believe in evolution argue that the days in creation are long periods of time. But are they? That's the question we want to answer. So let's look at some clues that God has given us in His Word that will help us to understand the true meaning of the word day as used in the first two chapters of Genesis. We need to remember that language is meant to communicate ideas. God used certain words and used those words in such a way as to communicate to mankind exactly what He wants us to know. God is not trying to trick us. He's not trying to deceive us. He wants us to know the truth. And so when we look at His Word, and we read it and we study it, we can see certain clues that point to us, give us the idea that He's talking about 24-hour days. God's purpose in having the Bible written was to convey His thoughts to us and to do so with words that we can understand. Because in 1 Corinthians 14:33 it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Again, He's not out to deceive us. He's not out to trick us. He is telling us what He wants us to know and to understand. So as we study God's use of the words, we need to ask ourselves, why does God use the words that He did and not use different words to describe the creation account? What is the meaning that God is trying to communicate to His original audience and then also to us today? Why did God have Moses use the word day or yom instead of a more generic term such as time when describing the creation in Genesis? You know, when we talk, we try to communicate and use the best words possible to get the idea across that we want to communicate. When we write an article, we may write and rewrite just so we get the message the way that we want it. Well, God's not indifferent. He knows the words to use. He created communication. He created language. So He knows what He needs to say and how to say it. Or if time is not important in the creation account, why not do away with the concept of time and just list the events of creation in sequential order? Why did He use day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and then rest on the seventh? Why couldn't He have just said, "I formed the earth, I separated water from land, created the sun, the moon, the stars. Then I created plants and sea animals and land animals and birds. And then my ultimate creation was making man in our own image." If He just wanted to give an account of creation, that's what He could have done. He could have left out the time factor completely. But He didn't. Why? He's trying to communicate something to us. He wants us to understand something. Joe.
The only time that they understood it at this time, even during the time of Moses, was morning and evening. They didn't have clocks. We look at the Bible and we want it to be written in the 21st century. Mm. Well, it wasn't written in the 21st century. It was written for people that understood days as time. That was a unit of time that everybody could understand. The sun came up, the sun goes down, and you have morning and evening. And they could understand that.
Yep.
They couldn't understand, well, it was 12 o'clock when He did this, They didn't even know what 12 o'clock was. Mm-hmm. There was no time differential as far as increments of time. No seconds, no minutes, no... Now we have micro-minutes, and I don't know what all we have now. But then they didn't have that. So he was right where everybody could understand. Everybody in any age understands morning and evening.
That's right. The day that we know. Instead, God used the concept of time by using the word yom with the idea of a 24-hour day. He did that because he wanted to convey us a certain thought or a concept, as I said. He wants us to know, he wants us to understand what this time is all about and why it's important. If we're trying to convey a certain thought or concept, don't we use words that precisely convey that meaning that we want to say? Yes, we do. As I mentioned, if we're writing an article, if David's writing his sermon, he may write and rewrite something because it just doesn't sound right. It doesn't get the point across the way you want to. You want to use the words that the people are going to know, they're going to understand, and they're going to get that concept in their mind. Well, that's what God did when he wrote. He didn't just write some words down and hope we got the best out of it. He wrote precisely so that we could understand. So we do that. Well, so does God. He writes so that people can know and understand and know concepts. And the concept that God wants us to know and understand is that the word yom or day is a 24-hour period of time. Now, how does he do that? A couple of ways. God has given us ways to help us clearly understand what he means by the use of the word day. Number one, he repeatedly uses numbers in describing each day of creation. And number two, describing the days of creation with the phrase, as Joe said, evening and morning. Now, we're going to look at these two points a little bit later. Before we get there, I want to look at this word yom a little bit closer. The day yom is used in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, the creation account. And the Hebrew word yom, day, can have a number of different connotations or meanings. For example, it can mean a period of daylight. It can be a period of 24 hours. General or a vague amount of time, and a point in time or of time. It all depends on its usage. We use the word day in several different ways, even in our own language. For example, we use the word day. Let's do that during the day. So what are we talking about? When the sun's up, we can see what's going on, see what we're doing. What day is it? Wednesday. So you're thinking maybe that whole day, Wednesday, as opposed to Friday. In the days of King David. Okay. Could be his lifespan. If you're saying King David, it could be talking about the 40 years that he reigned as king. But it's talking about the period of time that he lived. It's not talking about the time of Jesus. But it's talking about that period of time when David was here on this earth and alive. So the days of King David, talking about a period of time. In that day, could be the same thing. Just pick out a time that something's going to happen or did happen.
Specific.
Work day. 9 to 5. Whoever who works 9 to 5, I don't know. But made a good song out of it anyway, but... Anyway, work day, generally the time you spend at work, whether it's 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever shift you happen to have. Call it a day. Okay, I've had enough, I'm going home. Is it the end of the day? Not necessarily. But I'm done, as far as what I had. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, whatever I was doing, I'm done. Day in and day out. Kind of a continual thing, something that just goes on and on. Back in the day. Well, that could be something that you fondly look upon, or it could be something that you really don't want to go back to again. But sometime in the past, and kind of like the good old days. Now, those are good days. Those are the days you fondly remember, but those are things in the past. Doesn't mean a specific day, but just a period of time. It is just not my day. Okay, things aren't going well for you at this particular time. Doesn't necessarily mean this particular day, but it could be several days in a row. And it could continue on for a few more days. And that will be the day. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? What day is God talking about? Day of judgment, whenever that day is. And that will probably not be a full day like we think of a day. That's going to be, it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. But it's talking about a point in time. So we see the day can be used several different ways. It all depends on the usage, how it's used in the sentence, how it's used in a paragraph, what context is being used. So it's kind of the same way with Yom as far as Hebrew. It can mean some different meanings. So how do we know and understand that God is talking about a 24-hour day as opposed to years, vast periods of time? Remember, the purpose of language is to communicate, and God wants to communicate to us in Genesis what took place during the creation week. He doesn't want us to guess about this time frame that we're having to deal with. Again, he's not out to trick us. He's not out to deceive us. He's an expert in the use of language and therefore knows what words to use to best convey the message that he wants to get across. The meanings of words are determined by its context and should be taken to mean the normal and customary usage of the language. Getting back to using numbers with the word yom, and then using evening and morning. Numbers are important. We need to know that the use of a number along with the word day is important. It means something. This combination of using a number along with the word day, or yom, occurs 357 times outside of Genesis 1. Of course, that may vary a little bit according to what version you've got. But anyway, lots of times it's used outside of Genesis 1, talking about yom, but it has a number associated with it. What does that mean? Well, each time that a number is used along with the word yom, it means a 24-hour period of time or a portion thereof, but not more than a 24-hour day. So when you have the word yom by itself, it can mean a variation of time. But as soon as you put a number in front of it or behind it, but when a number specifies that day, it's talking about what we know as a day. 24 hours or maybe less, but not more than 24 hours. Let's look at some passages where day is being used along with a number. For example, Genesis 7:4. This is talking about the flood. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all the living things that I have made. Now, if God's talking to Noah, and he says, for after seven more days, I will cause it to rain, what idea does Noah have in his mind? He's got another year or two to wait?
No concept.
You know? He understands what 7 days are. He knows when the sun rises and sets. 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, is it going to rain for 2 days and then quit? Is it going to rain 1 year and then quit? No, 40 days, 40 yom. So it's specifying the number of days, 40 or 7. Again, God's not out to trick us. He's not out to deceive us. He's telling Noah exactly what's going to happen. In 1 week, I'm going to cause it to rain. And it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. Noah understands that.
You know, but Noah had no concept of what rain was because it had never rained on the earth until that time.
Yeah, that's what we believe. It didn't rain. That's one of the things, you know, we talk about.
When it said it, that it had never rained. But he knew something was going to happen, and he knew what he was building. He could. He wasn't stupid. He built the thing and pitched it with pitch, which would keep the water out. He could put it in the river if he had to. There were rivers and oceans at the time. He could put it there and it would float because he knew it wouldn't leak. But how God was going to get it from where he was building it to anywhere else.
Now, Noah had a lot of faith. Of course, we're going to talk about that in lesson 9. We'll talk about Noah and the flood. God instead build this thing. As far as we know, Noah didn't ask him a million and one questions about, okay, why? It's kind of like Abraham when he was told to go offer his son Isaac. He just did it. He didn't ask why. God said it. That's all that matters to me. I'm going to do it. Well, Noah was the same way. So God is now telling him it's almost time. Things are going to happen. Things are going to change. And so he's specifying days. He isn't saying just yom, and then Noah has to figure out by himself, okay, how long is he talking about? God is specifically telling him 7 days, 40 days. This next passage, Genesis 17 and 12. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. So what day did they circumcise the male children? Day 2? 12? Did they just pick out a day and say, well, it really doesn't matter because who knows what kind of time frame God's talking about? No. 8 days. And just as a curiosity standpoint, anybody have any idea why day 8? Yes. On day 8, vitamin K, which is a blood clotter, and another profomalin, something like that. What do you think, doctor? Anyway, there's two agents there. The vitamin K is the main thing. It's at greater than 100% of what the body normally has. The body doesn't have very much on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All of a sudden, day 8, it spikes. And so if you're going to do surgery on a little guy, when's the best day to do that? Day 8. Yeah, that's the reason God said to do that. Anyway, that's just kind of a side note. You know, we found that out through science. But God said that way back when. People had no idea why. God just said, do it, and they did it. So day 8, it was important that day be number 8. Not a month from then, or 2 months, day 8. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept a Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. So what day of the month did they get together and have the Passover? 14. Again, how do they know that? Why didn't they just say any day of the month's okay? Because Yom was used with the number 14. It specified that day. And the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did this 6 days. We just talked about Joshua lesson I had Sunday morning. Each day, they marched around the city one time for 6 days. Seventh day, they marched around it 7 times. And again, it wasn't a matter they spread this out over 2 months. They did it in 7 days because that's what God said to do. They knew what a day was. These passages show us when the word day is used with a number, it's describing a 24-hour day and not vast periods of time that the evolutionists try to tell us it is. It just doesn't fit. And that brings us back to Genesis chapter 1. If the meaning of the word day, when used with a number, always means a 24-hour period of time or a part thereof, outside of Genesis 1, as we've just looked at, then shouldn't it also have the same meaning of a 24-hour period of time when used in Genesis 1? And of course, the answer to that question is yes. Of course it should. There's no difference. So if we can logically and understand that these few passages that we just looked at, we know that God specified a specific day, that people knew what day it was. They knew it was a 24-hour period of time or less. Then the days in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, talking about the creation, are 24-hour days, not vast periods of time. Another clue that God gives us as to the meaning of the word yom is how he describes the day with the use of the phrase evening and morning. So God is saying, okay, day one, I did this. And then what's he say at the end of what he did on that day? And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. It's as if God is saying, okay, I've used the word yom. I have specified and given it a number, which means 24 hours. But just in case you have any doubt, it was the evening and the morning of the first day. It was the evening and the morning of the second day. Third day, right on down the line. As if God is saying, okay, I don't want you to be confused about this at all. I want you to completely understand the point I'm trying to get across. Besides using a number along with the word yom to convey the idea of a literal 24-hour day, God goes one step further and frames the concept of the word day within the confines of evening and morning. If you were trying to explain to someone the concept of a 24-hour day, what better way to do that than to use something they're already familiar with, the rising and the setting of the sun? As Joe said, they may not have clocks. They have a little phone that you can sit there and look and see what time it is. They might not have broken it down like we do. But they knew what the day was. They knew the morning. They knew the evening. They knew the number. And so that concept God used, same thing as we use today. The rising, we kind of began at the beginning of the day, the rising and the setting of the sun. They kind of with the setting and the rising of the sun, evening and morning. But still, a 24-hour period of time. By saying evening and morning, you're relating to them the cycle of the sun setting and the sun rising, which is exactly what our concept of a day is. If you're out in the woods someplace and don't have a time clock, what can you do? Every morning, you put a little mark on your little log. And you know how many days you've been out there. The rising and the setting of the sun is a day, 24 hours. You're not going to figure out to be vast periods of time. It's a day, 24 hours. By numbering the days of creation and setting the boundaries of evening and morning, God is clearly telling us the days of Genesis 1 are literal 24-hour days, not vast periods of time. This should be proof enough to show that God is plainly telling all of mankind that the Hebrew word yom in Genesis 1 is speaking of a 24-hour day and not vast periods of time. But some, in trying to promote evolution, say that God could have brought the universe into existence any way he wanted to. Could he? Yes. He could have done anything that he wanted to do. He could have said, let there be a universe. And it was all there in an instant. But that may be so, but our finding the truth is not based upon what God could have done, but what he said he did in creating the universe. God could have done it over a month's period of time. And again, he could have done it in an instant. He has that power, that capability, but he didn't do it that way. And just like I said at the beginning, he could have left the concept of time out of the creation account completely. He could have forgot about day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7. He could have just listed the events, and we would have guessed of how long it took. But he didn't do that. I wonder why. God could have spoke the universe into existence in one moment in time, but instead he clearly tells us that he created the world and everything in it in six literal 24-hour days, and then he rested on the seventh day. Have you ever thought about why God used 6 days to create the world and then rested on the seventh day? Was there a reason? Was there a purpose?
There's always a purpose.
An example.
An example of what?
For man to follow.
Okay. So, was the 7 days an accident or was it planned?
Everything God did was planned.
Just like he said, the other days were good, so was that seventh day good.
He had a reason for doing that. First, let's ask the question, what is the standard by which we measure time? And it's not our clocks. What is the standard by which we measure time here on earth?
A week.
Sun, moon.
Start with 7 days.
Okay.
That's a week.
That's a week. But we begin with the days, the years, the relationship between the earth, sun, and moon. That's what man has used for counting time since the beginning. You look at, to me it's just amazing when you sit there and look at some of the structures that people in ancient times built. And they have a building that when the summer solstice hits, a light goes through a particular spot and hits a dot on the back of that building. How do they do that? How do they know that? They had to be planning that for years to get that exact building to be that particular size, shape, and angle just right. But yet, the sun, moon, and stars were something that they depended on. We don't depend on it so much. You know, the old sailors, what did they do at night when they sailed? They used the stars. If I had to depend on that, I'd be running in circles. I'd have to have my little GPS and my map. But those people knew it, though. They counted on it. 1 year is the time it takes the earth to revolve around the sun. One complete orbit. 1 year, 365 days. 1 month, the time it takes the moon to circle the earth. And 1 day, the time for the earth to complete one rotation on its axis. These are the standards of our time. Now, time is just a sequence of events. Whatever happened before is the past. Whatever's happening right now is the present. What happened in the future or afterwards is the future. But you got to have some way to calculate that, at least to be able to communicate it. Well, God used the sun, moon, and stars, and the earth for that. We understand that our standard for time is based upon the celestial relationship between the earth, moon, and sun as God set it in motion during creation. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years." Notice what he says there. Let the lights in the firmament of the heavens divide the day from the night, and let them be signs, seasons, days, and years. Did Adam and Eve have a concept of time? Of course they did. Based upon the setting and the rising of the sun. They knew about years. When you read even the book of Noah, when he built the ark, they had it broken down into months. So even the time of Noah, they had months. It wasn't just a day that extended for who knows how long. And when all that started, I have no idea. But the month is already a concept there in the time of Noah. It talks about a certain day and a certain month that he entered the ark, a certain day, a certain month when he came out of the ark. So the days, the months, and the years have been a standard of time, well, since day four. And really before that, God just put these in so that we could see it. So those are our standards of time. And if the people back then understood what a day was, do you think they had trouble reading Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and knowing what a day was? I don't think so. They knew the concept of time. because it had not changed since creation. It wasn't vast periods of time. It wasn't something that they couldn't say that, well, who knows how long that day is, because it could be a year for your day, it could be 2 years for yours, it could be a week for yours. No, there's a standard. And God put it in place in the heavens during the creation week.
You know, this is not a new concept. If you've ever read any of the, well, what is called the saints.
Come on, Joe.
St. Augustine. St. Augustine was teaching. He was a scientist and a priest. But he was teaching young people, you know, our people, about God and time and everything. And inevitably somebody said, well, what was God doing before time? And his answer was, he was creating a place for people like you that ask that question.
Yeah, time, like I said, as far as when you just look at time, time is just a sequence of events. You know, God's not bound to time. He can move forward, backward, wherever he wants to go. We are bound by time. There's a sequence of events that we can't control. We have to keep moving forward. We can't go back in time. But this idea of a 24-hour day, the fact that God created the sun, the earth, and the moon and set them in motion so that we have a concept of time, so that we can deal with days and seasons and years, we can understand that. So it brings up an interesting question, one that we've kind of talked about. Where do we get the universal standard of time for 7 days that equals 1 week? We know we get the concept of a day, a month, and a year from the sun, moon, and stars, the earth. But what astronomical phenomenon is there that will explain our standard for the week? There isn't any. There isn't any astronomical reason to have 7 days equal 1 week. So where did it come from? So where did all week come from? Came from God. And isn't it interesting that everybody uses it? Every culture uses it. The only place we can go to that will support the use of our week is found in God's account of the creation week. Genesis 1, verses 31, and then chapter 2, verse 2. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. That's when he completed creation. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. 7 days.
Are you going to touch on 2 Peter 3:8?
No. Why? Talk about the end of the earth?
Yeah, well, it just says, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. And I think that's where a lot of people go to this to get confused about the length of time.
Well, there's another verse in the Old Testament, I can't remember what it is now, talking about time. But again, that goes back to the concept of time for God.
Right.
God doesn't have a concept of time. He is not bound by time. So when Peter's talking about to God, one day is equal to a thousand, or is as a thousand years.
That's talking about when he's coming back to judge the earth.
Right.
That's
Yeah. But it says as. It doesn't say one day is a thousand years. It says as. In other words,
God has no concept of time.
Right. That's what it means. Time doesn't mean anything to God.
Created time for us.
It means everything to us. God is just has unlimited amount of time to do whatever he wants done. So that's what Peter's saying.
Well, the key, though, is for us not to say, oh, well, it can be either way. It doesn't really matter, because it does matter, because it is 24 hours. You know?
Yeah, for us, the day is 24 hours.
Yeah.
To God, it's whatever he wants it to be.
Anything that God intended for, well, I know he did, that for our lives to be primary. They're not, we want to put the emphasis on our life that we do. Of course, think of how chaotic it would be if we didn't have a trace of time. But God intended for us to glorify him while we're here, not plan days and months and all these kinds of years, except to live right and be obedient.
Right.
What happened on day three?
I don't know what happened.
Plants. Okay. If those plants could have taken 1,000 years of darkness, they wouldn't have lived.
We'll get into that later. It won't be in this lesson, though.
You always get into my good points.
I know. You're just impatient. Have patience, boy. Have patience. But that is, I mean, we're going to talk about in. Talk about that in another lesson, but that's what he's trying to point out. If a day is not 24-hour days and it's vast periods of time, when God created the plants on day three, when did he create the birds, insects, and everything else that pollinate those plants? The next day. So, did they sit there for a billion years waiting for something to pollinate them? No. Or darkness? Yeah, how long can they last in darkness? They can't. So it just goes back to the evolutionists, as hard as they try, they think they come up with a great theory, but it just never really works when you think about it logically.
It's
just a theory, just a fantasy.
And they make God lost. You know, he didn't make God in the middle of when he was making the lakes or the mountains or whatever. He made God lost because put everything under God's control.
Net control, yeah. Yeah, man was the pinnacle of his creation.
Exactly.
And not because we necessarily deserve that title, but we're made in the image of God. Not in the fact that we look like God, but we are the way we think, reason, consciousness, like God. So anyway, he rested on the seventh day, created 6 days, rested on the seventh. God set the standard of time for the week. Again, it's not some kind of astronomical phenomenon that goes on that we can say, okay, there's 7 days. As far back as human records show, a week consists of 7 days, and each day consists of 24-hour days. It doesn't change. It's always been that way. A day or a week has never been vast periods of time, billions or millions or billions of years, as the evolutionists try to tell us. You just don't find that anywhere in man's history. 1 day equals 24 hours. 1 week equals 7 days. Pretty straightforward. We can see God using this standard when he told the Israelites to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Notice what God says in Exodus chapters 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Notice there what he said. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea, and all that is in them. When he told the Israelites, I want you to work 6 days and then rest on the seventh day, what idea, what concept did they have in their mind? Is God saying, well, okay, I can work for a week or two, and then I can rest for another week or two. I can work for vast periods of time, and then I can rest for vast periods of time. No. 24-hour days. Nothing more, nothing less. 24-hour days. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. He said, I created everything in 6 days. And I want you to work 6 days. I rested on the seventh. I want you to rest on the seventh. They understood what the concept of day was. 24-hour days, not vast periods of time. And he says, I made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Did he leave anything out within those 6 days that he created? No. Everything that exists was done in those 6 days. And the people in Israel understood when God gave them this command, they were to work 6 days, Sunday through Friday, and rest on the seventh, Saturday. There was no doubt, there wasn't any arguing about, I really wonder what he means about 6 days. There wasn't any argument. There wasn't any misunderstanding. A day is a day. And the word yom, as I mentioned, can mean different periods of time. But when it's qualified with a number, it's talking about a day. And in the book of Genesis, when he says evening and morning of the first day, the second day, it's just like God is saying, I do not want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say here. A day is a day. It's almost as if he knew, and he did know, the evolutionists are going to come up with this idea of vast periods of time. And this is how you overcome that. I don't want you to doubt what I'm telling you. This is the way it happened, literally. 24-hour days, 6 days, I created everything. And again, God could have done it in an instant, but he didn't. He chose this pattern for a reason. And a lot of it has to do with this right here. The Israelites worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. Did the Israelites understand that the word day is used here by God in the giving of the Ten Commandments to be vast periods of time or a literal 24-hour day? Of course, we know what that answer is, a literal 24-hour day. God is comparing the days and the Ten Commandments as being the same as the days of creation, which show that both are literal 24-hour days. We have seen that God has made it clear to those who want to see that the days of Genesis 1 are literal 24-hour days and not vast periods of time. There is no place in the creation account for the evolutionists to place the billions of years that they need to have, even have the slightest chance of evolution to take place. Sorry, evolutionists, but your theory of evolution is false, because in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. So is a day in Genesis a vast period of time or a 24-hour day? A 24-hour day, without doubt. So just because somebody says they are smarter than you and they believe in the theory of evolution and they may make fun of you because you don't believe in the theory of evolution, you can be confident that you know the truth.
Tell our children about this. Is that kind of
message
what they're hearing at school?
Yep, it is. So that's the lesson on the word yom that evolutionists try to take and just expand it into whatever time frame they want it to be. But God says, no, I have put constraints on that. I've given it a number, and I have qualified that with evening and morning were the first day, second day. It's 24 hours. Thank you for your time, your attention, and your comments. Let's have a short period of prayer before we go. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the universe that you've created and the world in which we live in. Thank you for giving us your word so we can read it and understand it and know what you would have us to know and to believe. We pray that we'll always look at your word and study it and live it the way that you would have us to do. We all want to give you the praise and the glory for everything that you've done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.